This is CliffCentral.com.
It is a great pleasure to meet the president of the ACDP in person and spend a little bit of time with him, the Reverend Kenneth Meshwe. It's a pleasure to see you, and I hope that you are having a good time leading up to the elections. Are you having fun yet?
Yes, we are. We are. We are meeting people who are saying we are looking forward to change.
Now, Reverend, I know you started off as a school teacher, and I often watch you in Parliament, because I like to watch Parliament, believe it or not. A lot of people are embarrassed to admit that, but I do like to do it.
Now, I always must ask you a question about that.
Well,
You watch Parliament for entertainment, or you want to...
This is it. But I see you, you're sometimes the only adult in the room. You know, and I can't help thinking that it's because you're the school teacher and you actually probably feel like you're back in the classroom when you see how some of these people are behaving in Parliament. Does it make you, you go home after a session, you know, where the EFF have stormed out or where the DA are shouting and screaming or when the ANC are turning things over and shouting at each other and calling people names? Do you leave there sometimes, go home, and just start to cry?
Well, fortunately, not necessarily cry, but I hope that when people look at their looseness, their carelessness, their playfulness, they look at them and say, for us to have an orderly country where respect is one of the values that upholds a relation and improves and encourages good relations between different people, we need people who are not behaving like kids. And some of them, unfortunately, are dreaming of becoming a government in South Africa. And so the more they misbehave, the more in my heart I say, I hope South Africans are taking lessons and saying to themselves, we want to be a nation that will be respected by the world. And for us to be respected by the world, we cannot be led by clowns. We cannot be led by people who have no respect for their neighbor. You know, respect is one of the values that in the ACDP we promote, we uphold, because if I don't respect you, Cliff, and you don't respect me, you're going to fight all the time. And the fact is we cannot build and fight at the same time.
But I wonder when I look at the ANC if they respect anyone, even their own constituents, because... if you see what's going on in the country now with these rolling blackouts and just the total failure of the state, I mean, it's inconceivable to me that a country which just a few short years ago worked, at least it worked. You know, we had some basic services that were not being delivered in certain areas, but by and large, the government was at least trying to put up a front of running the country. And now I look at this and I think there cannot be a conscionable way that the ANC expects people to vote for them. With what they've delivered over the last year or two, there can't be a person who goes to the polls and thinks, yeah, they've done great. There can't be. It just seems to me like, looking at the ANC in particular, you would have to be mentally ill to vote for them.
You know, many people who vote for them are either ignorant or they're benefiting materially from them as a government. But people who are looking at the future, because most of those who are looking at benefits is now benefits and not future. But people who have an eye for the future, who are concerned about the future of their children and grandchildren, will realize that the ANC is definitely the way not to go. What has been appearing on the screens for months now is just saying to South Africa, people are giving testimony and saying to you, don't trust these people.
Yeah.
These people have messed up the country.
Yeah.
They've messed up the country.
Sure.
So it is a positive for us that they have been exposed and they are being exposed.
Do you think it's going to translate into votes?
Oh, definitely.
You know what irritates me?
I'm one of those.
Yeah, I'm glad. But I think there are a lot more of us who are starting to feel like now it's time for us to either get up and go and vote for a smaller party. Because you know that often the ANC and the DA in particular say, oh, if you vote for a smaller party, it's a waste. That's nonsense.
Well, I agree with that's nonsense. You know, the late Mr. Mandela, that was a very wise man. And I had the privilege of serving under him. One day, as he was correcting the ANC, seeing some of their members being arrogant, he said, a small party will one day become a majority party. And I said in my heart, Mr. Mandela, you are correct, because it's going to happen. A small party will one day become the majority party. So this election, 2019, I believe the ANC will not get the majority. They have messed up the country, and too many people can read even between the lines. People, many people know that what they are saying is a lie. And how many times will they say, let's give them another chance when they lied to them? Mm. Well, 94, obviously, it was not lying. We all needed to get rid of apartheid. Okay,
sure,
it was fine,
94, yeah.
Okay? But after that, 99, 2004,
just disappointment,
you realize
after now, disappointment.
Now, you see, one disappointment after the other. And rather than accept their faults and their mistakes and failures and appeal to those who are able to help, people with expertise, their arrogance and their pride did not allow them. What did they do? Blame everybody, use the race card, it's apartheid, it's apartheid, it's apartheid. What does apartheid do with what's happening right now? ESCOM was a very efficient organization. We never had blackouts because there were people who were maintaining. And maintenance, even though many of people who look like me would not want to admit, look at Africa. When it comes to maintenance, we are failing.
Yeah, it's always a disappointment to me if you go to any country in Africa mm-hmm. and you basically mm-hmm. see that the last big infrastructure projects were under colonialism.
You see?
And you think this is completely bizarre. But Reverend, there's something quite healthy and salubrious about you. You started this party with your wife. You stand for family values. You believe in religion as a guide to being a good person, to being moral, to being accountable. Mm. These are some people's ideas of traditional and old school values. Some people want to decry them as being irrelevant in the modern world. Mm. A lot of people write you off as being almost like a throwback, you know, a reactionary idea in a world that is moving forward. And you even mentioned the future yourself. Mm. So I want to give you a chance to explain, because often people say to me, South Africa is a very conservative country. And I think they would probably say your party is quite a conservative party by comparison with some of the others. Mm. Do you think that South Africa is a conservative place? And do you think that these arguments against your position on so many things, moral, ethical, spiritual often, that the people who criticize you for those things, do you think that they have any point?
The interesting thing is to see a slight move from that criticism to saying, let's give them a chance, because what they're saying might work for us. When we look at specific things that are happening that most South Africans are upset about, we look at the killings of school children.
Yes.
You look at the children are taking teachers. And people are saying, are we going to allow children to continue? Are taking teachers as we do, as they are doing? Are we going to allow our children to go into schools where we do not have the guarantee that they will come back alive?
Yeah.
For how long is this going to happen? So people are saying, what are our children missing? Some of them are saying, they are missing morals. Yeah. Some of them are saying they are missing values. So people are saying, who has the values and the morals that can help our children to know that you cannot take a knife to school and stab another? You cannot take a gun. You cannot rape in school, as it's happening right now. So South Africans have a choice. If you want to continue living in a society where children are raped and killed every week, then continue with what's happening. Allowing this liberalism to go to such an extreme that there is no line that is drawn. Lines must be drawn in the sand. We must say to children, even though you have rights, your rights must be balanced with responsibilities. Now for your information, Cliff, the ACDP voted against the South African Constitution. And one of the reasons was we complained about these rights that were not balanced with responsibilities.
What in particular were those rights that you didn't think were being balanced?
If you exercise your right
yes.
to play loud music
yes,
and your neighbor wants to study, it's not fair for you to say, it is my right.
Yeah.
But you also have to make sure that the atmosphere is conducive for others who want to study.
Right, harmonious.
Harmonious, correct.
Right, yeah.
If you say, it is my right to strike, I don't want to go to work today. Nobody must go to work. I want to go to work. And then you say, we force. You know, in the townships, many times when there's strikes, people are forced not to go to work. Mm. So that
people
right
who do
to
want
strike,
to go to work. Yeah.
And the people who want to go to work.
Yeah.
So that right is not balanced with the responsibility of ensuring that those who want to go to work are not interfered with. And when you strike, you're not going to destroy a building. When you strike, you're not going to hurt another person. So they don't think about that. They only think about my right to strike.
But Reverend, to go back to the conservative liberal discussion we were just having, you mentioned now the schools and this lack of discipline, this lack of respect and morals. And is that not the realm of the family? And have we not seen in South Africa a breakdown of the family to a point where I think single motherhood is in the 70% of households in South Africa? It's outrageous how few fathers are involved in their children's lives. Is this really, first of all, I think we both agree it's a big problem, but is it really the area that we need politicians interfering in, or is there something deeper we must ask about the nature of our families, of the building blocks of society? How do you feel about that stuff?
Two things about that. Firstly, when the government tells a good father like me how to raise children, they are interfering.
Yes.
They are coming into territory where they shouldn't come in.
Absolutely.
Parents have lost authority over their children. And one of the main reasons for that is that government has said to South African children, parents don't have the right to smack you. Okay? If they smack you, go to the police station.
Yeah.
Go and report them.
Your party is very much in favor of parents being able to discipline their children as they see fit.
Correct. We are saying there's a difference between abuse and correction. My parents used smacking on me. You also.
Me too.
My children also. And as a result, my children are upright. My grandchildren will also be upright. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I am not threatened by a government that says, go to the police station. Because my children know. Before I smack them, I would explain to them why.
Yeah.
You have done wrong. And you didn't listen to mom, you didn't listen to dad, and because of that, you're going to get a smack. So the child understands, if I don't want to get a smack, I must respect my dad and my mom, and then I won't get it. So children, our children, did not run to police station, but today's children are running to police station. So parents are scared of them. So they, government, with this policy, have also contributed in destroying order and discipline in the home. So the ACB is saying parents must raise children as they know fit, as they know is best, as they know that the values they're implanting in them are going to help them to become responsible adults. So the breakdown of the family is because of government that has contributed by saying you cannot smack a child when the child is wrong.
Well, there are elements of the left that believe that everybody should be given whatever they need by government. That government is there really as a super parent, right? And this is, I think, part of the problem is that you have, the reason we have delinquents in certain parties in parliament is because they've been raised to believe that the state is there to provide for them, that they actually aren't responsible for their own lives or their own decisions, and that they can live in a fantasy world where they'll be bailed out by government.
Yeah. Well, one of the mistakes, again, that government made, when we grew up, we had to do our own bedding. Prepare our own bed, open your windows, clean. When we grew up, even as a boy, my mother taught me how to cook. Okay? I did house chores. But today's children, many of them, don't do any house chores. Why? Because they say children must not be subjected to labor. They do not separate. I agree with not using children on the farms.
Yeah, sure.
I agree with
that. Sure.
Not making children carry heavy stuff. I agree with that. But to allow that to come into the home was wrong because many of these children are irresponsible. Everything is provided for. Now you have this. You make children, for every child you get a grant. So if you want to have more money, what do? Have more children. No. So government policies I think it's one of the main reasons why the family is collapsing in South Africa.
So would your party, would you get rid of social grants? What would you do?
When we were in America, 93, okay? My family for the year was in America. And because we were foreigners who were studying there and we had children, we had to be on the social program.
Yes.
But the social program that America is using is different from what we are having in South Africa.
Yes.
Okay. Every month, government provided food stamps for us as a family. Okay. With those food stamps, we could go to some shops, supermarkets.
Yes.
Okay. Where you could exchange that for food. We were not given a dollar that you could use for your hair.
For drugs.
Can use, you know, that was not given. Mm. It was just to make sure that the children are given nutritious food. Okay. So the family, because it was enough, the whole family could live on food that came from the side. And until a certain age, it was not permanent, until a certain age. But in South Africa, they are given money. Some of that money is not even used to look after the children, but is used on pampering oneself as a mother.
Sure.
So young girls are not encouraged to stay away. Even from, I'm saying, premarital sex.
Mm.
Okay? We say as the ACDP, focus on your studies. Leave sex to the adults, to the married people, but focus on your studies. Today, many of our children know more about sex than they know about mathematics. And the ACDP wants to reverse that. Our children must know more about mathematics. We'll make mathematics an enjoyable subject.
But Reverend, again, I've got to come back to this idea. Do you think South Africa is a conservative country? Do you think that most parents, most children, most neighborhoods, most communities are rooted in? I mean, people always tell me that this is a Christian country. We've got about 80% of the population who are Christian. But do you experience that in your travels, in your discussions with people?
Well, you know, some people call themselves Christians because they have what they call a Christian name.
Mm.
Some of them call themselves Christians because they were baptized. They got a few drops on their foreheads when they were small, you know.
Yeah.
But they are not true Christians. If we talk about true Christians, I don't believe South Africa has even 40%.
But that would be bad news for your party.
Well,
I mean, wouldn't it be better if 80% of them were Christians? Then you could...
No. You know, there are people who are not Christians. Mm-hmm. And it's not an exaggeration to say people of other religions.
Mm-hmm.
We have people from the Muslim community and from the Hindu community who says they subscribe to the values of the ACDP. And because of that, they're voting for the ACDP. Time will come when South Africans will be frustrated with crime. And they will start saying, guys, it's either we live in peace and security and support these people with better values, or we are going to continue sinking in the country. And I believe there are many people who are now thinking. You know, if you remember, Cliff, a few years ago, when people would be asked the question, who are you going to vote for?
Yeah.
The majority will always say, either ANC, DA, whoever.
Mm.
But today, about 57% of people are saying, I'm still thinking about it.
Or I'm not going to vote.
Okay, you know.
Yeah.
So the majority are those who say, either I'm not going to vote or I'm thinking about my options.
Well, I think out of 55 million people who could vote in South Africa, I think it was 12.5 million who voted for the ANC in the last election that decided, those 12.5 million decided who our government would be.
Correct.
And that can't be representative democracy at optimal levels, right?
Good news is that it's changing.
Yeah.
Good news is that the ANC will not get even 10 million. They'll be fortunate if they get 7 million. Okay? They'll be fortunate.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. What I can say to you with certainty, absolute certainty, is that the ANC will not get 50% of the vote in these elections.
You're that sure of it?
Yeah.
Wow.
If it doesn't happen, I owe you a lunch, Steve.
Okay. No,
and
fine.
If it happens, you owe me a lunch. But now, it's going to happen.
Now, your party is interesting to me for another reason. I'm not a very religious or spiritual guy, but I like the fact that
But you're a good man.
Well, I hope so. Thank you. I'm trying to be, but I sometimes let the side down. But Reverend, your party has probably the most diverse support. When we talk about the parties in South Africa, and this makes all of them uncomfortable, it makes the DA uncomfortable, the EFF and the ANC, because they're all saying that they're non-racial. Well, the EFF doesn't say it's non-racial, but the others do. The fact is, you have white people, black people, Afrikaans people, English people, Zulu people, Tswana people, Xhosa people, everybody. You have people from the Muslim faith, you have people from the Hindu faith, as you've already indicated, and you have people from the Christian faith who support you. They support you because of your values.
Values, correct.
Now, that gives you a very diverse constituency.
Yeah.
Is that not the most powerful card in your deck? Because when we look at the constituency that is the ACDP, we do see rich, poor, old, young, black, white. Mm. This is something that really should be a matter of some pride for you.
Definitely it is. I play some music. Okay, I play a bit of piano.
Mm.
And one lesson I've learned from the piano. You look like you play music.
I can play the piano.
You can
badly,
play the piano.
Badly, but yes.
But you can play a piano.
No, I can play.
Okay. something I have tried, and it worked very well. I would come to a place where there's a piano, and then I'll ask for a volunteer, a professional pianist or musician to come forward. Then they come, then I ask them to play me a song. If it's a church, okay, a nice Christian song, say, please play me this song using black keys only.
Mm-mm. Can't do it.
You see? Now, you're not even trying to, so you can't do it.
No.
Okay? Now, and then out of that, when they say to me, you can't do it, I say, whoever manufactured the piano had a brilliant idea that to have a harmonious music, you need black and white together. When you play them together, you have such beautiful music. So the ACDP is saying to the public, because of our diversity, you want harmony in South Africa. No IT will feel, because I'm white, I'm denied a job, I'm denied an opportunity. No, 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 no. We don't look at the color of anybody. We want the best out of the blacks, out of the whites, out of the Indians, out of the colors.
And that idea has kind of fallen off the wagon in the last while. Our politics has become very racial. Does that sadden you?
Well, obviously, it saddens me. It saddens me. And one of the reasons we have these blackouts with Eskom is because of these racist policies. They were experienced white engineers who were retrenched. I don't know whether you heard the president when he was talking on this issue of Eskom. One of the things he said, we are looking at the old experienced engineers who left the country, and we are trying to bring them back. And when I heard the president say that, I said, the man is using common sense. We retrenched people who knew how to ensure that Eskom performs optimally. We got rid of them because of the color of their skin. So now they are looking for them. They want them to come back. And obviously many of them will not come back because they are not given the assurance that once Eskom is running smoothly,
they won't be kicked out
again. You see, that is a challenge. So the ACDP is saying, let us use the skills of everybody, regardless of their color. And you know, Cliff, that people on the ground who are complaining about lack of jobs, lack of service delivery, they do not care the color about the color of the person who brings services to them. They just want delivery.
Sure.
That's ordinary people on the ground.
I don't care who's working on the electricity.
They don't care. They just want services.
Sure.
Give electricity. It is the politicians. The politicians who are misleading people, who are breathing a wedge, driving a wedge between people of different race colors. Okay? Yeah, people of different races.
Yeah.
So, but the ACDP is saying we want to work together. We are promoting unity from the beginning. ACDP, mostly the chairman of the party has been white. Okay? And how it happened is very interesting. We'd have a democratic process and the people vote. Okay, they vote democratically.
Sure.
Then they choose a black president.
Sure.
They choose a colored deputy president. They choose a white chairman, as if somebody said, do it that way, without anybody doing that way. So we have been very, very diverse from the beginning until today. That is why people who want harmony in South Africa should not look anywhere else but to the ACDP, because we have maintained the relations among ourselves and we are promoting cordial relationships between different race groups in South Africa. The way to go for South Africa to be a model. We are dreaming about South Africa becoming a model among nations of the world. For us to come to that stage, all South Africans must know that our natural home, where they will be respected, where they will be celebrated, is the ACDP.
So, Reverend, what are the big, you talk about the seven giants that hinder South Africa's unity and economic freedom. And this is part of what your manifesto says. You address supporters at the party's election manifesto launch. Of all places in Kales River in Cape Town, why did you choose that place?
You know, we wanted to go to a place where no other party is going to. So that, you know, if we look at what has been happening in South Africa, it is a fact that coloreds have been treated unfairly. Coloreds have been treated unfairly. Their skills have not been acknowledged. So we deliberately went to a colored community to say, guys, if you want a home, ACDP is your home. And as a result, the present, for the first time, the present chairman of the ACDP is colored from Cape Town. Okay. Now, we went there to say to them, we can make promises. And I don't, when I make a promise, I don't make it lightly. But there are promises we can definitely make and some promises we have made because we know we can keep them. To give you an example, colored communities are suffering because of the gangsters. You know, these drive-by shootings are there all the time, these drugs all the time and all this stuff. We have made a promise that I will repeat here today, that the problem of drugs and gangs, the ACDP can deal with that easily.
How?
Okay, good question. How? With gangs, we would outlaw gang membership. Would outlaw it. Outlaw gang membership.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to drugs, a few years ago, I asked a question to the former commissioner of police, Jackie Selebi.
Yeah.
I said, Mr. Selebi, people who are complaining about drugs, they know drug houses. They know where the drugs are sold. They know the drug dealers. Why don't you go to those homes and arrest the drug dealers and confiscate the drugs? You know what he said to me? He said, no. And it was not to me personally. We're in a committee of police. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Selebi said, you know, these criminals are smart. Now, when I hear the police say criminals are smart, I know something's wrong. Why should government be, why should criminals are smart to the police? Something is wrong. So he said, these criminals are smart. They have surveillance cameras all over. So when we approach, they hide the drugs. Okay? So I said, Mr. Sleepy, why don't you use sniffer dogs?
Yeah.
Bring in sniffer dogs. Doesn't matter where they hide them in the house. They will look at it. No, but you know, it's expensive. We don't have enough dogs, you know. Then he dodged the question. So the ACDP says, we will invest on sniffer dogs.
Yeah.
We'll have sniffer dogs in all points of entry to make sure that the trucks are searched properly using sniffer dogs, to make sure that anybody who says that house they sell drugs, immediately will bring the police from a different area, because many of those in the area are implicated.
Yes.
If people are complaining in Soweto, we bring police from East Rand, for example, and we don't tell them until the day. You say, okay, today we are going somewhere, follow.
Yeah.
No time to phone and say hide anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to that area with dogs.
Yeah.
We search. We shut down. And those guys that are found selling drugs, the penalties will be very high. Government is not, I say, government is not serious about the dealing with the issue of drugs. Because there has been incidences where politicians were implicated.
Well, wasn't the former Minister of Intelligence, Siyabonga Gcwele, his wife was arrested for this. She was a drug mule.
And then she said, he said he did not know.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
How is it possible?
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. He got away because the ANC has a way of shielding those that are involved in drug dealing. So the ACDP, I'm saying to all the listeners, I promise you we will get rid of these illicit drugs in the streets. We'll make sure that your children are protected from drugs, because we'll shut all the drug houses, because we'll use sniffer dogs. Enough sniffer dogs. And those that are arrested will not be given bail. Arrested for drug trafficking, not given another bail. And if at all they come from outside, we send them back where they come from, because we want to clean the country. That's what we'll do.
What are the other things? You're a free market party, right?
Yes. We, you know, people who are trying to promote socialism realize that actually they want to divide a cake among so many people.
Yeah.
All right? Socialism. Even those who did not contribute, let them get equal share. But we are saying, no. Because we are Christians, we understand that God blesses the hands. Okay? That works.
Yeah.
To work hard is something that is part of our genes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Gives you meaning. Hard work. Gives you meaning.
Okay? Hard work produces. Yeah. So we will encourage people to start their own businesses. We will learn even from those who are more successful with small businesses than us, such as Rwanda.
Mm.
I don't understand why until government today does not learn from Rwanda that you can register a new business within 72 hours.
Yeah, there's so much red tape, right?
Uh-huh. Now we have so much red tape. People want to start their own businesses. They are not only getting help from government, but the red tape discourages them. So the ACDP that believes in a free market would want competition, and those who want to start small businesses will help them. Start small business, we'll give them, if they get loan, we'll say it will be interest-free loans. Interest-free. Why? Because we want you to succeed.
And this will obviously deal with one of our biggest problems is unemployment, because people will be able to start their own small industries.
Correct.
Make things, they can deliver services, that kind of thing, without All the red tape and confusion.
Within 72 hours.
Yeah.
Anybody want to register a business, you register and you need the loan, we'll ensure that you get a loan interest-free. Okay. Government will have to handle that rather than try to give people everything free of charge. Government becoming a Father Christmas. We don't need a Father Christmas in South Africa.
No.
We want people who work with their hands.
Now, two controversial things that were brought up around you. The first one is that you supported Ethel Trollope as mayor of Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. And a lot of people didn't understand why. Do you want to explain why you supported him and why you think what happened there is wrong?
You know, when the community says there is less corruption, we can see what money is doing for our people. We don't care whether you are white or black. We want a person that will bring services.
Right.
In Ethel Trollope's government, we had our member who was given the portfolio of health. He was an MMC.
Right.
Lance Groenboom.
Yes.
You know, Lance went into communities where particularly foreign nationals were selling outdated food to our people. Where they were, like it's happening even today in Gauteng, they were sleeping in the same place where they were selling food. Now, you tell me, Cliff, if a person makes food, sleeps there, goes to toilet there, what kind of food are they selling?
Horrible,
to
dangerously unhealthy.
It's unhealthy. It's horrible. It's wrong. Okay? So when Ethel said, come and help us sort out the metro, we said, okay, we're coming to help to sort it out. And when our man was there to help sort out the problem, that's what we did. All the stores that were not subscribing to the minimum health requirements were shut down.
Yeah.
Okay. And then many parks where people were just dumping dead, dumping rubbish. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, our people don't use rubbish bins.
Oh, no.
They just throw stuff everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Okay. So our man went in there and said, these places where people are dumping rubbish, we are going to fence it and make it a playground for children. And also put in some few gym machines for men. You go to what our guys have done, you realize that there are no more rubbish dumps. Children play there. Adults go there to exercise. Okay? So because of that, even the drug dealers who were surrounding those places are now pushed away because of what we have done. So the people on the ground there, if they don't want to talk politics, but they talk delivery, they will tell you that when the ACDP worked with Arrow, I thought in that area, there were better services that were given to the people.
So you supported him. The other thing that you've been outspoken about is farm murders.
You know, I've even called for the return of the commandos. I did that. And people didn't understand. They said, but why? I said, guys, you don't want to depend on food that is imported.
Yeah.
You want to produce your own food. And for you to produce your own food, you need to ensure that food producers are safe and secure. So those who attack farmers and their employees are attacking people who are feeding us. Now, none of us can survive without food. So it is foolishness to kill a person who's providing you with food. So we are saying, government, if you care for these people, regardless of their color, unfortunately, most of them happen to be white. And it's because of the hatred of what has happened in the past that people don't care about them. We say, guys, I had the privilege of traveling on the African continent. I've seen poverty. And I know that giving black people all the farms is not going to solve a problem. Many of the people that have come from outside South Africa, some of them have left farms. You go to farms that used to be productive in Zimbabwe, for example.
Yeah.
You know, they are not productive anymore.
No, sure.
So that's why we are saying those food producers we have, let us look after them and their employees so that we'll continue being fed, so that there can be abundance and food can be affordable. Food is becoming expensive in South Africa because we are having less and less and less producers. So ACDB believes, let's look after our farmers and their employees to ensure that they continue feeding the nation. Politicians sometimes want to forget that the food they eat was produced by the same people that they attack, the same people they want to protect. And for me, it is common sense. If somebody is feeding you, look after that person.
Well, there's the old saying, I might even be from the Bibles, don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Correct.
So, Reverend, you also apparently now some quirky things about you. First of all, I've heard that you really have a problem with mosquitoes. You don't like this.
I don't like mosquitoes.
All right, so just explain, because this seems like there's a serious problem going on here. Do you have a lot of them in your house? I mean, what's the problem?
Well, summer months, we when it's hot and it's raining and you have swamps all over, mosquitoes do come. And my family know that if there's a mosquito in the room, we'll not sleep until I find it.
You kill every mosquito?
I go after them.
Do you have machines? Do you have those chemicals? Do you just smash them with
something? No. In the evenings, obviously, when it's time to sleep, there's no time to spray.
Yeah, sure.
I can't spray because I want to sleep. So what do? I get a towel.
And you smash them?
One after the other. Just smash them one after the other until I get rid of them.
There's blood on the walls.
That is my problem. When there's blood on the wall, I have to clean quickly because my wife is also watching me when I do that, you know?
Now, I believe you would rather just work or read a newspaper than go shopping. You don't enjoy shopping. Waste of time.
My wife is a professional shopper.
Okay.
My wife.
Yes.
She's very good at that.
What kinds of things are we talking about buying here? Is it groceries or is it personal effects?
No. Groceries, I do groceries.
Okay.
That I enjoy.
You go near the list?
I do the list. I ask them, they give me a list. Mm. They tell me what they want.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they tell me what they want.
And you go in, you buy what you need, and you're out.
And then I'm out. Mm. Like when I want a suit, and I have to go shop for a suit, I'm not going to stop at the shop that's not selling suits.
Sure,
shirts.
Of course. What's the point? You don't need to look.
You see, what's the point?
I agree with you.
But you know what most ladies would do? Okay?
So every shop.
Everything. Everyone. They want to look at everything. Yeah. Okay? My wife sometimes does that. Yeah. And sometimes she does that. And when I know she's going shopping, I take myself a book.
It's
I take a newspaper.
It's because we are hunters. We have the prey in mind. We find it. We kill it. We bring it home. They are the gatherers.
Okay.
They will go around. Pick this berry off this bush. Check that one out.
Yeah. No, we are men. We are to look for what we want.
All right. So you play table tennis in your spare time?
Yeah. I used to, but now I'm getting too busy and I'm not very happy that I don't have time for that.
Okay.
But I still make time when I can.
Are you fast? Like you see those Chinese teams at the Olympics that go.
I wish. No? Actually, if I could get one of them to teach me the trick, I would really, really pay whatever I can pay.
Do you think you could beat the other members of parliament in table tennis?
No, some of them I can, definitely. Some of them, I look at their figures, the way they walk, and I can say, no, these ones I can beat,
For sure. Now, you have your own church too, which is called the Hope of Glory Tabernacle, right?
Yeah.
4,000 people?
2,000.
2,000. All right. So, I mean, pastors have come under some fire recently. There have been pastors who said they can go and visit God in heaven and come back and take pictures with him. There are pastors who've supposedly raised people from the dead. There are a lot of people who are taking advantage of gullible people in Christian communities at the moment. What is your feeling on this? Because a lot of people are saying, well, this is indicative of the church as a whole. Do you feel that's fair criticism, or do you think that these are particularly bad people who found a way to make a quick buck?
Well, definitely those are bad people. It is not fair to put the whole church in, paint them all with the same brush. It's not fair. You know, if you look at all professions, among the lawyers, you have crooks. Among medical doctors, you have those who grope patients and all this stuff.
Sure.
So you cannot say the medical profession is wrong because of those few individuals. So even in the church, we have individuals. And unfortunately, what is happening in South Africa with these individuals is that they are copying something that was brought in by people who failed where they came from.
Yeah.
Cliff, if you can one after the other, these people who have done stupid things in the name of religion, you ask them where they come from, whether they were doing that in their own countries, you'll find that all of them were failures in their countries. I still have to find one who has been successful where they came from. They came to South Africa and they found people that are gullible.
Yeah, but does that say something about us as South Africans?
Unfortunately, it does. And where I have been critical of my fellow Christian leaders is that rather than correct, speak out, and condemn what's happening, they kept quiet. which is an indictment against the church. The leaders must have spoken out. And even now, if the leaders can start speaking out, condemning all these inhuman and human rights abuses that are taking place in the churches, these things can stop. So we just need more credible, known, respected leaders to speak out and to condemn what these other guys are doing. I have condemned. I've gone to the Human Rights Commission to lay charges. I've gone to the police station. Now, going to the police station, Harangua police station, was a bit sore for me because I went there. I told the police, let's do something about these people who are feeding people petrol.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
You know what the police said to me? No? The police said, the nearby hospital, Harangua Hospital, there are patients there who drank petrol. And they're hospitalized. And then the police said, we went to them to try and get statements, to make a case against whoever gave them the petrol. And they said, that is none of your business. Stay out of this. This is our pastor. We were not forced. We drank out of our own volition.
Wow.
So now when you have desperate South Africans defend pastors who do wrong, it exacerbates the problem. Then the police said to me, for as long as we cannot have a witness, a person who's a victim, a person who has been given this, we can't do anything.
Yeah.
And I found that very, very sad because I believe we must come to a stage where the law should allow a third party to lay a charge of abuse against what they've seen. If the victim does not want to complain, and I have seen the abuse, I should have the right, you should have the right to say, I've seen it.
But how far will it go? Because the victim themselves feel that it's okay.
Yeah, you see, now that is the problem. That is the problem. That the victim says it's okay. Yeah,
but you can't compel the victim to feel like a victim if they're not.
But you see, we talk about, when we talk about abuse, okay, for example, to show double standard, that government applies double standards. Somebody might see a parent smack their child. That somebody, that neighbor, reports. And what that neighbor reports, what they've seen, the police come and act.
Yeah.
Okay? The child didn't say anything. The neighbor saw and informed the police. So my question is, why does government apply double standards? Why when it comes to something like this, they act? But when I say people are fed petrol, they don't want to act because I saw it. And I don't want it to continue.
Yeah.
So it's applying double standards. So I believe the law must allow third parties, when they see abuse, to report that and that they should be able to act on that.
Reverend, you've also been criticized for having led the party for as long as you have. A lot of people say, you know, like Mangosuthu Buthelezi, you've been in charge from the beginning of the party. And that isn't it time for change? I mean, how do you respond to that criticism, first of all? And second of all, how do the systems work in the ACDP? In terms of how the election within the party happens for president, chairperson, and so on.
Okay. People elect as they wish, all right? When we are at an elective conference, people contest. And nobody has been told you cannot propose or you cannot vote for somebody else. Nobody has ever said that.
Okay.
When we say, the Secretary General calls for nomination. And Cliff is not nominated. And I'm nominated. Why should I be condemned for being nominated?
Sure.
And Cliff is not nominated, maybe because he also does not want to contest the position.
Sure.
If people are happy with the leadership, if people are saying we are getting value for money, why should I say, because guys, I don't want any more, and the people say, we want you. Then you are no more a servant. If we talk about servanthood, if you are a servant, and the employer says, I still need this servant, this servant cannot say, but I've served you for 30 years.
Yeah.
If the employer wants the servant makes themselves available. So the party is the employer. The party say, this reverend has been our servant. We are happy with his service, so we want him to continue serving.
We'll renew it.
Okay.
How many seats in Parliament at the moment?
Before I tell you, you must promise me you're going to get me back after the elections.
Sure, of course.
Okay? Now we only have three.
Okay. How many votes do you need for three seats?
About 90,000. About 100,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are we looking at for the new elections? How many are you hoping for? What's your target?
Well, in case some of the listeners might want to shoot me, let me say definitely double digits.
Okay.
Definitely
double digits. All the way to double digit seats. Yeah. You're looking at more than 10 seats.
Definitely. 10 seats is minimal.
And where are you campaigning the hardest? Which communities are you aiming at in your campaign leading up to the
election? Western Cape, Gauteng, and KZN have always been our strongest. But now we are moving into all the provinces, particularly Limpopo. Mm. Limpopo has been a very critical province for the ANC. They always got more than 80% in Limpopo. But the Limpopo people are saying, we are tired. We have been used. We have been abused. We are looking at alternatives. That's why even this coming weekend, actually on Thursday, I'm going to Limpopo. We are going to work in Limpopo because the Limpopo, people of Limpopo are saying, we are ready. We have given them 25 years of our vote. It has not worked. Now it's time for change. So, Cliff, I promise you, we are taking an army into parliament. We are taking, do you know, okay, if I let the cat out of the bag, a person like in Gauteng, you have a man by the name of Bishop Dalton Adams. I don't know whether you've heard him. He has been one of the key guys of the ANC in this province, particularly Soweto and among colored people. He's our premier elect.
Oh, really?
We'll go to Western Cape. You know,
You got the Ferlin Christians, right?
Yeah. All right. Now, last week, I was with a lady, Faye Mentor.
Yes.
ACDP.
Is she in your party now? Is she a candidate?
Unfortunately, our conclusion was after the list was closed.
Okay. She's a member of your party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Faye Mentor's testimony has been hugely useful and instructive in the State Commission.
She actually was the one who started this whole exposure of State Commission.
A lot of people say she's maybe a bit crazy. You think that's unkind?
I think they're unkind. Mm. I know she made mistakes with some dates.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I make mistakes. I'm sure you also make mistakes.
Yeah, sure.
Okay? So it was not because of disputing the essence.
Sure.
But it was the dates and times. And I agree. I also have made mistakes with dates. And even the people who are condemning her are not happy with the contradictory statements when it comes to times and all this stuff. I say they just have to be polite and realistic. We all, when it comes to dates, can make mistakes. And she has made mistakes.
Now, another thing that you guys are quite loud about in the ACDP is your support for the State of Israel, which is interesting because most parties in South Africa are very much more interested in Palestine than they are in Israel. What brought you to this point and what kind of support does it get you?
This is a matter of principle more than support.
Okay.
Okay. If a person can say, let's get rid of all the Afrikaners, I'll be the first to defend Afrikaners. If a person can say, let's get rid of all the Zulus, I'll be the first to defend the Zulus. Why? I believe it is wrong to want to get rid of a nation or to want to get rid of a group of people. So there are calls that have been made for years that Israel must be annihilated. Now, why should you annihilate, deny a people group the right to live because you disagree with them? So our support for Israel is based mainly on the belief that everybody, even those who disagree with, has the right to live. You cannot want to wipe up a nation. We disagree with that, and I promise I will defend any nation if it's threatened with annihilation.
So what's going to happen to Cyril if the ANC doesn't get their 50%, in your opinion?
He'll go back to business.
You think so?
Yeah.
And then what will we be stuck with? David Mabuza.
You know, many people are going to jump off the cliff. Jump off the wagon.
Yeah.
Many people are going to leave the ANC. I don't see it surviving the next 50 years.
Well,
15 years.
15? Yeah. It's even, that's a long time,
yeah,
right?
I don't see them surviving. They've done too much damage. They've hurt too many people. There are people, particularly the learned, who do not want to be associated with them because of their corruption. Their corruption is so deeply entrenched. It's just too shocking. Why should we have such corrupt people around? So once they fail these elections, they will be going downhill. And I think 15 years, people don't want to stand for the ANC.
Well, I'm fascinated by talking to you in person about some of these things. Your party is one that I think is garnering larger and larger amounts of support from communities that were previously maybe outside of the constituency.
Yes.
Wish you luck for the election. It sounds like it's going to be a very interesting one. According to you, some very controversial things might happen in this election.
Definitely.
And we'll see you in Parliament next year, no matter what. Well, after the elections.
See who?
You.
No, let's talk about my army.
Yeah, well, your
seeing army. The army of the ACDP.
But you're one of the three currently. In
Well, definitely, definitely.
So you'll be there leading the army.
When I will finally say I retire from politics, or maybe from the ACDP's presidency,
yes,
I want to say to the country, look at what the ACDP has achieved. I don't think I will retire until the ACDP is in government.
Sure. Well, power to you. Thank you so much, Reverend. Pleasure to spend time.
Well, thank you very much for spending time this time with me, for allowing me to share a few things with you.
It's great to talk to you. The Reverend Kenneth Meshwe, President of the ACDP.
This is CliffCentral.com.